This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. New from Moultrie Mobile, the Feed Hub offers first-of-its-kind cellular connection and control for nearly any spin cast feeder on the market. When used with the Moultrie Mobile app, you can monitor feed and battery levels, run feeders on demand, receive alerts when feeders are clogged, and remotely adjust feeding times. The Feed Hub is ideal for anyone who maintains feeders. Remove the guesswork and save time by planning feeder maintenance before you drive to your hunting property. For more information, visit MoultrieMobile.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
Ugh, you said you were over him, but his hoodie is still in your rotation. It's time. Grab your phone, snap a few pics, and sell it on Depop. Listed in minutes, with no selling fees. And just like that, a guy 500 miles away just paid full price for your closure. And right on cue.
Hey, still got my hoodie?
Nope, but I've got tonight's dinner paid for. Start selling on Depop, where taste recognizes taste. List now with no selling fees. Payment processing fees and boosting fees still apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Huntivore Podcast, powered by Sportsman's Empire, where we celebrate the hunting and fishing lifestyle through the utilization and consumption of our wild game. No egos.
Fork in hand, beer in the other.
No status.
A piece of red meat on a hot grill and turn it into a burnt offering.
Just catch it, cut it, cook it.
This is episode 147, The Humble Mid-Shoulder Roast. On this episode of Huntivore, Nick attempts to give some credit to the venison mid-shoulder roast. Between the blade and the shank, this primal cut is a barbecuer and stew maker's dream. However, it can get overlooked. But no longer is it going to be the last cut out of the freezer. Get your smokers lit and your humorous roasts thawed for an in-depth episode of Huntivore. Well, hey folks, crazy evening here in Michigan. Hey, I tell you what, we just got a line of storms that came through down south of us. Man, did it get a little bit crazy. I think there were 6 tornadoes, at least reported, that were touching down. I guess we'll figure out tomorrow what all happened south of us. But man, thankful to hear that no one is seriously injured and didn't hear about any deaths. I do happen to see a lot of damage coming across on the news sweeps. So thoughts and prayers with the folks south of us. And man, thoughts and prayers for the frog in my throat as I'm trying to get all these words out. But yeah, crazy evening. Luckily, everyone here in our neck of the woods is A-OK. Got quite a bit of rain coming down today, both early on and then again this evening. As far as morale reports have gone, again, the rich continue to get richer and the poor continue to be poor. I have not had a chance to even go find any. Good friend, John Smith, same fella that took down a turkey last week, now has loaded up with big white, morels. Oh my goodness. We're talking, you know, 4 to 6 inches in height. He gave us a side profile, just thick, thick, mushrooms, man, meal in themselves. So again, hats off to him on finding those. Thus far, I've just got ramps, which is to say, like, I got a lot that I can do with them. I've left them in the ground. I have the spot marked. It's on private, so they're not going anywhere, but I do know that something needs to happen soon. I did see from a forager friend, Alan in Minnesota, from his book, really focusing on ramp butter, that might be what I'm going to do. If I can get a nice haul of those in and I have a little time to get some butter here made up, with some ramps, that could be really good when it comes to making some venison steak and, give it a little, basting of ramp butter. I think that's going to be, probably what we have going on. So that's the current events of what we have going. School year is starting to wind down. We're in this awkward phase of we're close, but man, we're just not close enough. As a teacher, I'm ready to be done. We've got grades finalized. We're finishing up the last unit these next couple weeks. We've got our fitness tests. That's going to be the last hurrah. And once those are done, it's kind of like, well, hey guys, what do you want to do? So we're going to make through the last part of May here. We do have our field day, and that is going to be, that's a huge event at our school. So yep, a lot of focus is on field day coming up soon here, making sure we've got all the great activities for the kids to send off and finish out their year. And then we're on to summer. I've not been very diligent with my bow, and I think that needs to come out here, and we're probably going to have to see me start making some shots on the evening, every evening here, getting ready for Total Archery Challenge. Again, my crew and I are heading up to, not Boyne, Crystal Mountain, so that we can take on the Michigan Boyne Total Archery Challenge. We enjoy that as a group. We might be looking at switching venues. We might not go back to the TAC next year, but this is might going to be our last hurrah, at least at this venue. It's getting full, it's getting popular, and we want to make sure that we're taking care of us as far as our group and our camaraderie goes. And it's really hard to do that when you're really, really packed in with a lot of people. So hey, great event, it's just getting super full, so this is probably going to be our last run at that particular event. There are a couple other ones. I know Saginaw puts on the Reinhardt 100. That might be a venue we head over to and partake in the next year. Just a little bit less inundated with people, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. That's just kind of what's going on in my neck of the woods. But yeah, let's get on to what I really wanted to talk about. And actually, I've got two of them dry brining in my refrigerator right now. And I really wanted to focus on the mid-shoulder roast. It is an unsung hero. This is definitely a cut that has a surplus of value, but gets kind of just lost in the mix. It's funny that it's the mid roast, and it kind of like fits in with that middle child where it's got to make a racket. It's really got to make noise in order to be noticed. People really enjoy the blade roast. They'll put that into a crock pot for pot roast or for being able to shred that. Shoot, a lot of times I'm taking apart, if it's off a sizable animal, like a really big doe or the buck that I got this year, I could take that apart and actually have individual steaks. You have your mock tender that's on there. You've got the flat irons that you can pull off that blade. And then a lot of that can even go into diced or even grind if you want to get it to that point. And that mid-roast, it's bigger than a shank. It offers more than a shank. But at the same time, I feel like there's so many folks like myself that are trying to raise the shank up to something that, you know, we need to save this. We need to use this. And so we use a lot of shanks and we promote a lot of shanks. And we never really come back to that mid-roast. We never come back to that humerus roast. That would be the equivalent bone that is inside this. And I think that that particular cut with only having one bone makes it very unique. And at the same time, I think that's what really brings a specialness to that roast. I see this roast. It is the humerus roast. It runs right in the middle of the shoulder with one knuckle joining the shank to the downward part of it. And then the upper side offers the blade roast. A lot of guys, what they'll do, I've even known them to take the shank off and then even just hold the two larger primals, be it the mid and the blade, and they've kept them together, and they'll actually cook that as a two-bone roast. If they've got the big smoker, why not put it down there and do the whole thing to once? I continue to break them down because, again, like I said, sizable animal, I'm gonna take across. If it's a small one that I take off the side of the road, a yearling or something, you know what? Keeping that together, it does maximize the yield that you can get onto it. It makes it worthwhile to feed a number of people, or at least that now that can go into freezer bags and get frozen and actually make a dent as far as your freezer space being cleared up and actually get a good bounty out of cooking those down.
Dry-aged steaks used to be a steakhouse-only indulgence. An old-world charcuterie was pricey due to being imported or created at a small batch-specific scale. Thanks to UmiDry, their synthetic dry-aging bags and casings allow you to create these meat-crafting treats in your own kitchen. Working in tandem with your fridge, the UmiDry bag material allows moisture and air to pass through, making it possible to dry age large cuts of steaks or roasts. Paired with their curing and seasoning kits, along with safe and easy to follow instructions, salamis and dry sausage are well within your grasp. Use the link in the show notes and sign up for the newsletter to receive 10% off your order. UmiDry, helping us elevate our wild game from the home kitchen.
But again, like that mid-roast, it's got one bone that runs right through the middle. And what's nice about that is it is a larger, thicker bone. It's quite stout with the two joints at the one end. It makes for a great cooking mechanism. It's going to hold that roast together, and that be the only thing that you got to pull out. Very much like a thigh of a bird. Be it a turkey, be it a chicken. You know, the drumstick, that's going to have to be a low and slow thing, especially on a turkey. You're really going to have to low and slow that thing. But the thigh, being the dark meat, it is going to take a little more heat. It is going to take a little bit longer to cook. But at the same time, it's not going to be near the work that drumstick is going to be. And that's where our mid-roast is going to shine. It doesn't need all the work that a shank is going to need. It doesn't need all of that extra cooking and all that extra time. It just needs to be adequately low and slow in order to take care of this roast. Given its size, given its thickness of the muscle groups that are on there, it also bolts itself well to be on that velvety, hard-worked side where you've got the hard-worked muscles and you're going to have a lot of connective tissue that it isn't going to have to be a quick sear and be done. That this muscle group is going to take a long time for those to break down and soften up. But then again, given that time, you're going to reap the benefit of that velvety collagen that's been rendered out and that is now softened, and it's going to work its way throughout the meat, really giving it a wonderful texture. So you get that texture that we've been looking for from shanks. But on the flip side, it's going to give you a surplus of meat versus the shank. Shank's going to be real small. You're going to need several of them to make a meal for a number of people. The blade is going to be a great one to barbecue. The blade is going to be a great one to do a pout roast on, but it can tend to get dry because it doesn't have as much of that hard work connective tissue in there to help soften it, be it with the gelatin and the collagen. So we're in this happy medium where we can do a lot with this roast. For my barbecuers currently right now, I mean, shoot, Mother's Day is, at the airing of this, going to be the weekend. This is airing on a Thursday, and shoot, you got a couple days to figure things out. Maybe you haven't put together a meal for mom yet. Maybe you need to put one together. Some sliders maybe might be what she now wants to do. Some pulled Benny sandwiches, maybe that's going to be up her alley. I don't know. That's between you and mom. But at the same time, as we get our barbecues ready to go and as we get our smokers prepped, this is going to be something that I think that we could use to our advantage. We're going to get a bigger cut, but at the same time, we're going to be offered up the texture that we're looking for. With those muscle groups, we're going to be able to get a nice smoke adhesion, because there is going to be those nooks and crannies that we can then get the smoke in there as it envelops all the way around it. Making sure that you do cut some of those or slice up some of those silver skin, you know, take off what you need to. But even if it's just connective tissue, or even if the surface has got a chance to dry itself out, put some nicks in there with a knife so that you can get that smoke down in there. But it's going to adhere. It's going to take that smoke really nice. It's going to crust up really well because, again, you're going to have your crust on, or you're going to have your rub that's going to be able to put on that. And that muscle, once you get enough smoke on it, you don't need to continue to smoke. You know, get a good amount on there. Hour, 2 hours worth of smoke. I would then transfer that roast into a tin foil pan. Drop a beer in there. If you wanted to use stock, you could use stock in there. I would make it a dark beer. Maybe a couple pads of butter, maybe even a little extra fat, a little extra lard in there just to soak in that. I would cover it with foil then, and then just let that finish. If you wanted to go into the oven and finish inside in that foil pan or in that that cookware, totally do that. If you want to keep it in the smoker, by all means, keep it in the smoker. But finishing it there, again, it's going to be roughly around that 202, 203, that things really then begin to relax. Once you get your temperature up to that, you're going to be ready to shred. So then I would say rest it, because it's already now at 200 degrees. Let it rest. Let it absorb that juice again. Let it work itself in with whatever, you know, if you've given it a beer in there, or if you've given it a stock, let it do its work in there. Let it rest. 20, 30 minutes. Break into it. Open up the top at that point. And that point, the moisture has been able to redistribute back through that cut. And I bet you with your hands, you'll be able to shred that meat off. And what's nice is you don't have to worry about tendons. You don't have to worry about fine little details on this roast. It's merely pull out the bone. Pull out that one bone that runs through the middle. That's going to leave you with an awesome shredded venison. I currently have two that are currently sitting in my refrigerator right now. Like I said, dry brining. I hit it with some Kairos. I know those guys, it's been a little while since I've talked about them. But Kairos has been a company that I got hooked up with. We've done an episode with them. And I'm still using their stuff, trying to play with it. I know they've got their Southwest. No, it's not Southwest. It's just the wing seasonings. Maybe it is the Southwest wing seasoning. But using it on, and it's not a buffalo wing, but it's more of like this, it's got cumin in it, and it's got some real earthy Southwest tones to it. And as much as it's made for bird, as much as it's made for upland birds, I tell you what, it works dynamite on pork. So I haven't used that one. I'm saving that current one for more pork goodness that's going to be coming up this summer, hopefully, with my boar that I got. But this time I skipped the coffee and black pepper, and I went to the Santa Maria. Real West Coast flair to it. But I wanted to apply that to a shredded. I really wanted to see what I could get with a barbecue on that. And I'll try to stick with some of that West Coast flair as far as whatever barbecue sauce I put on there. Try to figure out maybe I'm going to go with something a little bit more citrusy. Maybe add some lemon, maybe add some orange to the whole mix, see what I can get from that. But anyway, going with that Santa Maria, and I mean, it smells awesome. But I put that seasoning on there, and now it's going to spend a day, maybe a day and a half in the fridge, just dry brining, letting the compressor of the refrigerator wick off more of that moisture, letting that rub continue to work its way on in through diffusion. It's going to, you know, again, those seasonings are going to seep down a little bit deeper. And then when I finally have a chance, maybe Thursday I'll be able to get after it. By the time this is launching, maybe it's going to be a Friday weekend thing, but get those two on the smoke, those two mid roasts on the smoker. I plan on putting a pan underneath and collecting all the drippings, seeing if I can incorporate those back in. But yeah, I want to make a nice big batch worth of shredded venison. Whether I'm keeping it out of necessarily the barbacoa realm, I'm not going strictly Mexican on this one. I want to be able to take different directions, whether it be I add a chili element if I do want to go Mexican. Maybe I want to stay just shredded so that I can simply add barbecue sauce and go for like a Memphis, Kansas City style of sandwich that I want to go with. You know, throw the coleslaw on there, add the bread and butter pickles or the spicy pickles, and then, you know, put it on a slider. Giving myself options at this point. I'm also trying to take some of my freezer space right now and condense it down. A mid-roast is big, and not being able to didn't utilize that this winter in a pot roast, it's now like, okay, well, now let's see if I can't make it into a shredded, and then we'll get it into a vac bag and really lower the level of my freezers here. So that's at least the aim that I'm going with on that one. And on the barbecue element, that's kind of the direction that you want to go, is probably the shredded. Because that bone runs right through the middle, it is going to be a difficult one to slice. It is possible, but I would also argue that, you know, you're going to be taking it very close to having it shreddable, just being able to let everything soften and letting everything relax with that low and slow heat. So I would really aim for the shreddability of that. But at the same time, you don't have a lot of vessels or tendons to worry about. It's just merely the one bone. You bone that out, pull the bone out, and you're left with meat that's fully usable. So that's just one angle, and that happens to be what's going on right now. And I know we're going to get some of those colder evenings. And this might be a reference again for my folks that are, you know, fall and winter. You know, we're coming out of that. We're into spring right now. But if we do get a cold snap and, you know, a real thick, meaty stew is something that you're wanting to use, again, this is an awesome cut to use because it's one bone. You pull that bone out and now you're left with meat that you can now cube up. You can cube them inch. You can cube them up, you know, half inch, 3/4 inch, whatever the size you're going for. You can sear off those cubes in just a little bit of oil and get them browned up, and then begin to build your stew at that point. Pour those in. After, shoot, kind of like a chili, like as you guys continue to simmer these down, they're going to soften up, and especially if you've made them down into those smaller cubes, they're going to soften up pretty quick. And nothing is better than a real thick, meaty stew or something where you've got a big hunk of venison just sitting in your soup, in your stew, whatever you've made. I know I've used this technique specifically with Hank Shaw's Chillin' Drone, and it's very chili-esque, but it really hones in on not ground meat, but cubed meat. And there's something about dipping in and pulling out like a big cube of meat at that point with, again, all those incorporated chilies, lots of paprika in that, very, very strong Spanish flavors, not Latin Spanish, but the true Spanish across the pond. A lot of those flavors really coming out, like that smoky goodness off the paprika, and having that cubed, really hard-worked muscle now rendered soft, you can just mow through that, and it's just a beautiful way to enjoy a muscle that normally, yeah, just gets left in the freezer. It's one of those that's just left to the wayside. So it's got its awesome application, and I think at some point, like, we're always trying to, yeah, like I mentioned in the beginning part of this episode, we're always trying to raise up the shank and figure out more to do with the blade, but we look past that little mid-roast. But with those stews too, you could even, like, I'm even thinking, like, you know, go with a roux at this point too, where you get your stock in there, you're even browning off these pieces even before the stock, so you've got your pieces of meat in the oil, taking a little bit of flour, throwing it in there, and then throwing in your stock, and that's really just going to thicken that up. I've been intrigued with the idea, again, back across the Atlantic, and we're in the, you know, British Isles and the Scottish Highlands, and actually kind of really like jumping up to our northern roots here in Michigan with the pasty. I really think this cut would do awesome in a hand pie, whether it's going to be with puff pastry, whether that's going to be with a really hard, dense dough that you're going to make that out of, very similar to the ones that would be used in the British Isles or in Scottish Highlands, where they actually melt the butter. They don't want it as flaky. They want it a little bit more sturdy. And in your resulting product is something that can hold up. You can actually, you know, bite to the side of it, and the crust holds together. That was one way I was thinking. But then even, like, yes, the triangle turnover or the rounded shape of the pasty would just work out so well with the root vegetables, the beef stock, or even the venison stock that you've got, and you've got your gravy that runs through that. You get your root vegetables, be it your carrots. I think parsnips are an unsung hero when it comes to venison. I feel like that's a great pairing. So to do, shoot, an unsung roast with an unsung vegetable, I feel like the two are just married right together. But that would be, for a pasty, that would be an awesome way to make a hand pie, is with meat that has some sturdiness to it, but then at the same time does not take a whole lot of time to soften up, to hold in that flavor, to really, like, whatever spices or whatever vegetables go along with it can hold up to those and continue to be on point to have that venison flavor. This cut, I think, is just going to be one that really would work well with that application. So yeah, that's all I got for you, is I'm really asking, like, if you're warming up the barbecue, don't avoid the mid-roast, don't avoid the shoulder. And if it's not the whole shoulder, you've already broken it down, well, you know what? This is something that you can now do a little bit easier than having to do the whole shoulder. It's not that big of a process or that big of a show to just do one small section of it. Maybe you've wanted to try something different. Maybe you've wanted to try without as much, what do I want to say? Without as much sentimental value on that. I know some folks get just one deer a year. I got my buck, I got my doe, and I got one off the road. So yeah, again, this was a lighter year for me. So the mid-roasts are, you know, we're kind of using those up. In fact, I'm using two of them right now. But at the same time, that mid-roast lets me play a little bit. I have a little bit of safety there with the amount of musculature that is on that roast. It's not going to be something that gives way easy to burning or scorching. It can hold up to that. But at the same time, it's not like a backstrap, but it's not like a shank where I got to spend, a day and a half just trying to soften that sucker up. In a crock pot or even in a Dutch oven in the oven, this is going to be a little bit something that's going to, instead of the 8 to 10 hours, this is the 4 to 6 that we're looking at. So this is one of those entry levels that I think guys could really grab onto and really be able to use. So folks, that is my conversation in a nutshell. It's short, it's sweet. It's kind of a quick talk. I know I'm kind of putting this together in the last second, but at the same time, it's something I'm currently doing. I'm doing my mid-roasts right now, looking to make some awesome shredded for the weekend. So folks, if it's a mid-roast that you are pulling out, make sure you hit that sucker with a good rub and start that working in really good. I would say double rub it before you get back onto the smoker. Hit it with some yellow mustard. Throw on your rub. If it's going to be in the smoker, great. Let that sucker go. Maybe you want to make some slits. Maybe you want to make some cuts into the sides and corners and nooks and crannies. Maybe pull a few things, few pieces of fat and sinew that are still on there. But whether you're going to be trimming it up or just adding some score marks in there, make sure the knife that you're using is very sharp.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.